like to welcome each and every one of you into our worship service this morning. So I will say, if God puts something on your heart, testimony, a song, you need to do that this morning. If there's any visitors here, I surely want to welcome them here this morning to Goldtown Church. It's one of the loving places you ever be come in this morning, and open. They're open and praising God here, so that's what we need to do this morning. Got a couple little announcements I want to get out of the way first, and we'll get on with this. But Judy needs to see all puppeteers in the organ area right after service. Remember that. 10 for him will be ringing next Sunday morning. And we got something else here just in a minute they want to do. But we will take up the offering now. That's the first thing. Rex, ask the prayer for all.
Holy Father, thank you for the privilege of being in the house of the Lord one more time. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings you bestowed in our life. And we pray, dear God, if every one person here this morning that doesn't know Christ, this will be the morning where they can see where they stand as far as the spiritual life is concerned and have a desire to change. Father, bless this offering, that it will be used for its intended use and not for our own. And we pray that for those that have to give and those who have not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Real quick, let me add to the service for next Sunday morning. You've been seeing in the bulletin, the search is over. We found a copy of Dad singing that song that the bells are going to ring next Sunday. And I think it's the only time he sang it here in this church, and it was in 2007. And Barry found it. So next Sunday morning, you'll get to hear him sing it, and then the bells are going to ring it afterwards. And it's the old song, Wayfaring Stranger. So I'm looking forward to that. And also, too, there'll be a one call going out. Choir practice will be next Sunday night at 4:30, getting ready for Easter. We're going to do three songs. We're going to do two practices. Next Sunday the 7th and the following Sunday the 14th at 4:30 we'll have choir practice. And if any one of you would like to come up, as you can see, my front row is very small. I need sopranos. So you youngins are welcome to sing with us. Anytime you feel jumpy, you come on up here, okay?
Amen. Anybody got a testimony this morning? We don't want to leave that out. Before the choir sings, Steve's got announcements to do. Got announcements.
scared. I'm not preaching. Just real quick, the board is proposing a change to the bylaws. And I want to read, this is under the voting membership section. As the bylaws read right now, it states, during the course of 1 year after submitting your application for voting membership, all applicants must demonstrate their faithfulness to the church with attendance and participation in scheduled services. No exemption will be given to this 1 year requirement. The proposed change will read, during the course of 1 year after or prior to submitting their application, and that's key, or prior to, for membership, all applicants must demonstrate or have demonstrated their faithfulness to the church with their attendance. What that means is, right now, in order to become a voting member of the church, and I want to make that distinction, voting member, anybody can be a member of this, of Goldtown Community Church. This is just to be able to vote in business meetings. Right now, the way it works is you fill out an application, you wait a year, and then it goes before the membership committee, and you're approved or disapproved. What we're proposing is, if you've already been here for a year or more, you can fill out your application, and then the next time the membership committee meets, then you go before them at that time. So you don't have to wait a year after you fill it out. I don't want to take a whole lot of time, but if anybody has any questions about this, feel free to ask me or Timmy Gibson. We're going to vote on this at the April 28th business meeting, and you feel free to come and discuss it then as well. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Once in the dark. on that. We're going to sing this one, all right?
Yeah. Amen.
Don't these guys sound great?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
You all are really with it this morning. We need to sing them more.
Good old number one.
Amen.
I appreciate my choir.
Bless you, buddy.
I appreciate my choir.
I do too.
I appreciate them very much.
We appreciate
and I like it when it's full. It could be fuller, but I like it when it's full because that just means heaven just comes down. And I appreciate it. We're going to sing We Shall Be Like Him. Amen. And let me say something else too. Is that all right? I'm glad my wife is totally back.
Yeah.
100% healthy, and I don't feel bad at all because she's bossing me around again. I love it. I love it. I'm thankful. She got everything all straightened out, and then I got the crooked finger, so I know everything's good, and I'm thankful. I get the look and the crooked finger again. I know everything's all right. Yeah. And she's back to cooking again, too. Hallelujah.
Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be when His voice we hear. There is one thing that sinless and pure. For
we shall be like Him.
Praise the Lord.
We shall be like Him.
Forward to this, you can say goodbye to pain. You can say goodbye to tears. Change in a moment, we all shall be with Jesus to
we shall be like Him.
All right, get your hymnal turned to number 14 as the choir goes down. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I don't know what it sounds like out there, but I'm going to tell you something. It sounds like up here.
Oh, bless
you. It sounds great right here.
And sitting here.
It sounds good over here.
How about back there? I'm sitting back here singing. I don't get to stand very often. Yeah. My back just won't put up with it.
Yeah.
But if I was standing and it suddenly started sounding the way it was sounding, I'm going to float away, and I weigh almost 300 pounds. That's something else. Let me tell you something.
That's the Lord.
When you can hear people begin to sing from their heart and it starts to flow the way it does like that.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I start looking around. I start seeing faces out here.
Yeah.
And everybody's singing.
Yeah.
Stevie's singing up there. I was watching that.
Amen.
He's good. I want you to know. Didn't miss a word. But the important thing is that we all felt what was taking place in our hearts. I really don't know about the rest of you. The only thing I can tell you is that there is a spirit that is flowing in this place that only comes from up there.
Yeah.
And if you close your eyes and put your heart into what's taking place, your heart's going to bear witness to what's happening around you. And it's the Holy Spirit just beginning to walk. We've got a knack for bringing the word of the Lord here in this church. First with song to prepare the heart. And then when the word starts, what we're doing is we're sitting down, we're prepping the preachers as they begin to start while he's listening to the word of God, start to work through him and what he talks. It's not him. It's the Holy Spirit that's talking, and your heart's prepared for it because you bore witness to what was taking place. I don't know why I'm like Rex. I don't know why I said all that. All I want to tell you is that I am so thrilled to be here in the house of the Lord in his presence right now. Y'all pray for me.
Amen.
Sing that last verse, Lord.
When he appears, you can say goodbye to pain. You can say goodbye to tears. Changed in a moment, we all shall be. Us to live through eternity. For we shall be like him. Oh, we shall.
Right over there. And I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy.
told her she was on the sub list like school. And she can't get fired. Hey, man, let's all stand and sing number 14 as the choir goes down. Number 14.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Nothing but, Chris, thank you. Everybody in the world knows that that's my favorite song, and I get excited. I can't hold it in. I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm thankful. I want to thank God for the little things. I mean, in life, I was over the hill the other night, Friday night, and I burned a big brush pile. Nobody around. And the Lord said, you need to just start praying. So I sat on the tractor, and I just started praying. And by the time I got done, I was with cows on this side and pigs behind me. They might have thought I was crazy, but I sat there, and me and God had a time. I really had a time there, and I want to thank Him for that. You know, nobody around, I enjoyed it, and I'm thankful for that. That's how He blesses you, people. If you just look to Him, He's liable to bless you anytime and anywhere, and don't ever forget to thank Him for that, because that is a blessing when He does that. All right, Darren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't get to come last Sunday. Got a call about 8:30 that they were taking my dad to the hospital in ambulance, and so I headed that way. But I said that to say this: God is good. I brought him home Wednesday, and I called, checked on him, and I said, do you need anything? He said, I'm hungry. So I went and got him something to eat yesterday. But I thank you for your prayers. He is doing a lot better. But I also said that to say this: you never know when that call is going to come. We can do a lot of things in this life, but being prepared when that call comes is the most important thing you can have in your life. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. I want to give you a little background on Jeremiah. Jeremiah was born in the city of Anathoth, which is about 2.5 to 3 miles north of Jerusalem. It was in the area of Benjamin at that particular time. But he was destined to be a priest. But God called him to be a prophet. Now you say, what is the difference between a priest and a prophet? The priests were kind of lifted up and respected. The prophets, they hated them. You say, why did they hate a prophet? Because the prophet was telling them what was going to happen to them if they didn't change their ways. And so here he was, like I said, destined to be a priest, became a prophet. Anybody know of any of the other books in the Bible written by Jeremiah? Lamentations was written by Jeremiah. First and Second Kings was written by Jeremiah. So if you want to study the Kings, that was written by this young man. Now, he is often known as the weeping prophet. And I can relate to him when it comes to weeping. I'm not a shouter, but I'm a crier. And I got that from my father, I think. He could cry with the best of them. He never taught me that it wasn't manly to cry. But he cried, and I thought as he lay there in the hospital, here he is, he's 91 years old, and he's crying. And he's telling me, he says, I want you to give them to somebody else who can use them. And I'm thinking, what's he talking about? I thought maybe he was talking about some of the canned goods he had at the house. You know, he wanted to give somebody some food. And he kept saying, you know what I mean? And then I began to realize what he was talking about. He was wanting to donate his organs to somebody. 91 years old. And I thought, well, his heart's probably stronger than mine is, so it wouldn't probably be a bad trade to have his heart. But I'm just thankful that God saw him through this. And just had a bad infection, and he's on the antibiotics, and he's hungry. So it'll be a job to keep him filled, so you pray for me on that. But I thought of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was 20 years old. Anybody in here 20 years old? Stand up if you're 20 years old. Stand up. Stand up. We got two of them here. Okay, thanks, guys. Now, I want you to realize that at 20 years old was when God began to speak to Jeremiah. Told him, I want you to go and tell all nations that, you know, you're serving idols, you're doing things that are not pleasing in the sight of God, and what's going to happen is Jerusalem and this whole area is going to be destroyed and taken over by the enemy. But this was during the time that Josiah was the king. Anybody know who Josiah was? Let me ask you this. Do we have any 8-year-olds in our service this morning? I know a lot of them's over there. Stand up, Mr. 8-year-old. Chase is 8 years old, and Josiah became king when he was your age. He became king. Thank you, Chase. But I thought, you know, he had people working with him, but Josiah was the king, and this was the 13th year that he had been king. So he is now, any mathematicians? 13 and 8. He's 21. So the king is 21, and the prophet is 20. So I thought, you know, we can put our hopes in the older people in our church, but God has a plan for our young people too. He has a plan for all of us. And I thought here Josiah was a great king. He was trying to get the people back to where they belong. And then he calls Jeremiah because he knows that the people aren't going to go that way. And he's going to prophesy. And in the first verse, now think, Barry, did you find this or was that Alex? Alex, how old are you? So we got a 13-year-old man running our video system. And I would say he probably knows twice as much as all of us put together, maybe. But I'm thankful that our young people want to jump in there and help. Now, it said the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest. I can't see you. Y'all going to have to bear with me. That were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So I just told you that, but I wanted you to know I wasn't telling you something that wasn't true. It's right here in the scripture. And then it goes on and says, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So he had been the king for 13 years, and he's now 21. But the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. Isn't it good when the Lord of the word comes? You know, we can look for a lot of things in this life, but that's something that you can really count on is the word of the Lord. You don't have to. You know, today we hear that what we hear on the news is fake news. You know, we really don't know what's true at all a lot of times when we hear something on the news, on TV or whatever. But if you hear it from God's Word, you can count on it being the truth. You remember what Christ said in the Word? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So no one comes to the Lord except by the word of the Lord. And here he goes on to say, and it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. So Jerusalem was about to be captured. Jeremiah became a prophet when he was 20, and he prophesied for 40 years of his life. And it was around 627 BC when this took place. Now, these next two verses, I want you to look at them real closely with me. In verse 4, it says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, there it is, the word's coming again. It's coming to Jeremiah. And this is what he told him. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So, here we see, when did we, you that have been saved, you've come to know the Lord by His Word. When did the Lord come to know you? Even before you were in the belly, God knew you. Now, this scripture is used a lot when it comes to abortion. And why it's so important not to do that. Can you imagine God knowing you before you were conceived? And then when you were after you came out of the womb and were born, He knew you. And He ordained you. You know what that means? He set you apart. He chose you. In the first part there it says, I sanctify you. Sanctify means set apart. What would God set you apart for? To do what? Whatever you want to do? To do what? To do what? His will. His will, not your will. Not your will, but it's His will that we need to concentrate on. He knew you before you were conceived. He sanctified you while you were in the womb. And He ordained you. Now in this situation, He ordained him a prophet. He ordained him someone to go out and tell others, you need to turn to God. Now, would you say that we've all got some prophet blood in us? We should, shouldn't we? Our job as a Christian is to tell others that they need the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto him and said, you know, what do you say to God when He comes to you and asks you something? Are you sure you know what you're talking about? If God asks you to do it, are you sure He knows what He's talking about? You can be assured that He knows what He's talking about. He knew you from before you were. And I believe it was the prophet Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me, Lord. Or, you know, oft times, what do we want to do when God asks us to do something? Jimmy, when he asked you to begin to preach, what did you want to do with him?
Argue.
Rob, what else do you want to do when he asked you to preach? He's explaining why he can't. And if God calls you to do something, what's He going to do? He's going to equip you. He's going to make you ready. And here was a 20-year-old young man that he called him to be a prophet. Now, why it is that you think he decided he didn't want to be a prophet? Because he had heard what they did to the prophets. And through his life, you can see the many things, the many sufferings he made for the Lord. It says, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, if Josiah had told him that when they chose him as king, you know, that would have fell pretty much in there because he was a child at 8 years old. But here he is. He's 20 years old. He says, I can't speak. Does that remind you of anybody else in the Bible that you heard God call? Moses. Moses made the excuse that, you know, his speech, he couldn't speak real well. Here he was, a former prince of Egypt, and now he's using the excuse, I can't. What happens to excuses when you make them with God? What else does he do? He's what, Tim? He's an eliminator. That's pretty good. He can eliminate your excuses by providing you what? What did he do for Moses? He told him, Aaron can speak for you. If you're not going to speak, Aaron will speak for you. And he says, and he said, oh Lord, behold, I cannot speak. Do you think God believed him? God was going to equip him to speak to these people. And he went on, he says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Okay, you're not a child anymore. You're 20 years old. I think today they say if you're 18, you become a man. Is that right? Or is it 21? A lot of cases, neither. But then he goes on to say, Lord, and he said, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. If you look back at Moses' life, he used the excuse he couldn't speak. But do you ever see in the scripture where Aaron did the talking for him? He overcome that, didn't he? He overcome that speech deficiency because God equipped him to say what he needed to say. And here he is, he says, I command thee that thou shalt speak. He says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, you say when you get up front here, are you afraid? Yes. What are you afraid of? Your faces. It's a scary thing to look back and see that you're responsible. You're responsible for God's word and what He's told you to speak. So it is a fearful thing. But what is the greatest thing to be afraid of? It's a fearful thing to see man. But what is the greatest fear that we should have? Fear God, who can not only destroy the body, but also the soul. So it's important that, see, when you were born, God gave you a soul. And all He wants us to do is to worship Him and be a child of His. But we're afraid. A lot of times we're afraid to stand and testify. Why are you afraid to stand and testify? Because you're afraid of who's sitting beside of you. Or you're afraid of who's sitting in the congregation. But do you know that when God tells you to speak, you need to speak? I thought Audrey sang a song Wednesday night. When He speaks, I know His voice. And you know His voice as a Christian. And when He calls you to do something, what do? Don't make excuses. Don't do like Jeremiah did. Say he was too young, he couldn't speak. But we need to speak because He's going to be there with us. When Joshua was taken over for Moses, what did God keep telling him? Be of good courage. Be not afraid, because I'm going to be with you wherever you go. So we need to realize that today, whatever we're getting into, whatever we're facing in our life, God will be with you. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So if God tells you to testify, don't be afraid of what everybody else is going to think. We talked about this in Sunday school class. Jeremy brought it up and he said, you know, there are a lot of times when God tells somebody to testify and they sit on it. And what happens? The next person that testifies says what they were going to say, and God, they received the blessing from God. So it's important to mind God when He tells you. But here he was. He said, God, you know me better than I know myself. Another place in the scripture, it talks about His relationship with man. What does He know about each of us? There's several things, but what does He know? He knows every hair that's on your head. And what's He know what's under your hair? He knows every thought that you're thinking. So it's important for us to realize God knows all about us, and there's really no reason to make excuses. There's really no reason to argue with God. There's no reason to tell Him you're too young. God called me at 15 years old to teach. And I thought, and He put me in the worst class I could ever imagine being in. And they just couldn't find teachers for the class because the students were just out of control. But God put me there when I was 15. And God helped me make it through that. I shared this with you, and I'll share it with you again. I don't recommend it nowadays, but there was a young boy in that class that was really a troublemaker. And I thought, you know, as I was sitting behind him in class, and he began to roll up his Sunday school book and whack the boy in front of him. And I began to pray, and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And it came to me, "Do unto him as he's done unto them." And this is my first Sunday in the class. And I thought, okay, here goes. So I rolled it up and I pounced him. And he turned around and looked at me like, "You did that to me?" And I thought, "You just don't realize what you just done." And you know, from that day on, didn't have a problem at all. And to this day, when that young man sees me out somewhere, he'll come looking for me. And he'll tell me, you know, how much he appreciated me. But, you know, sometimes we do spoil the rod, and what does that do? It spoils the child. But I'm not saying go beat your children. I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes you get their attention. Yes, that's right. Let's finish up here on what he was to prophesy to these people. It says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Can you imagine that? God just touching your lips. God touching your lip, and he says, "I'm going to put my words in your mouth that you don't have to worry about what you're going to speak, because I'm going to give you the words." I would be so fearful to stand up here giving you my words. But when God speaks to us, it makes all the difference in the world. It really gives you confidence. When you know, you know, I can give you my opinion on a lot of things, but that's not my job. My job is to give you this, the Word of God. And His Word is true, and you can rely on it. And it says here, he says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down." Okay, those are all things that are tearing down. What's he tearing down? He's trying to tear down the idols that these people are worshiping. In the northern kingdom, you had King Ahab and his lovely wife, Jezebel. And they had the prophets of Baal, and they were trying to lift them up. But he said here, he says, "Let's tear them down. Let's root them out." And if you've got I'll share this with you. I have a taskmaster, Chris. You know what I'm talking about. And the task that she gave me, or that we undertook last week, was pulling up all of our old shrubs out front. And some of those shrubs were rooted really deep. Several of them I had to pull out two or three times. But you know, why do you want to get the roots out? You don't want them to come back, and you can't plant anything else in there because you can't even dig a hole big enough to put something else in there. But here he's talked about this. She's a good taskmaster. I always tell her, I said, "Master, please don't beat me." Timmy, you ever say that? But he's telling them to root them out. Root them out. Dig down deep. A lot of times they'll say, I forgave him. I'm going to bury the hatchet. But what am I going to do? Leave the handle sticking out. Is that burying the hatchet? Is that rooting out the problem? It's not. But here he says, tear down, destroy, and throw down. And he's talking about the idols that the people were worshiping. Do we have idols today? I see a lot of head shaking. What would you classify as an idol today? Somebody said it. Anything you put before God can become an idol to you. And it's important that we tear them down, we uproot them, and I don't know that we have to throw them away. But if you can't put God first, you need to throw them away. Get rid of them. But here it says, but it goes on to say this. It says, to build and to plant. What does that mean? That's positive, isn't it? To build and to plant. When you build something, what is the first thing that's so important that you have? A good foundation. A solid rock. Upon this rock, Christ told Peter, he said, upon this rock, not Peter, was he going to build a church, but upon the rock of him knowing who Jesus was. Jesus knows who you are. He knew who you were when you were before you even conceived. He knows who you are now. You know, so many times when our parents are waiting on us to be born, what are some of the questions that you think is going through their mind? What's he going to look like? What kind of a personality is he going to have? You know, God knows all this before your parents do. But here he is. He says to build and to plant. We talked this morning in our class in closing. I'm going to be finished here in a minute if you get us on. We talked this morning in our class about the Chinese, what was it? Which tree? Bamboo tree. There's a Chinese bamboo tree that they plant the seeds. And I'd let Jeremy share it, but he's working over the other service, I think. And it's been known that when you plant it, you have to water it and fertilize it every day. Now, we plant our gardens this time of the year. We're getting ready to plant gardens and everything. We plant seeds, and we look for them to come up pretty quick, don't we? But this particular tree, it takes 5 years before it'll come up out of the ground. 5 years. And what he was saying was, and if you miss one day watering and fertilizing that, it's not going to come up. So it's important for us to plant seeds. You know, it may take a long time to see that seed flourish. But if we do and we speak, as Jeremiah was told to do, if we speak God's words, that watering is going to take place every day. So it's important for us every day of our life to speak God's words to somebody so that they can hear that God loves them and that he sent his son to die for them. But what's so amazing about this tree, and you might want to research it to make sure Jeremy wasn't telling us something wrong, but what he said about this tree was, in 5 weeks after it sprouts, it grows to be 90 feet tall. But it took 5 years for it to start to bloom. If you're discouraged this morning because you've been praying for a loved one for a long time, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And it was mentioned about Rob's daughters and how every opportunity they had, they request prayer for their grandfather. But you know, it wasn't too many years ago they were requesting prayer for their great-grandfather. And that great-grandfather, he got saved. How old was he, Lori? 89 years old. He got saved when he was 89. I was in the hospital with Lori's dad. That's the grandpa they're praying for. And you know what he wanted to talk to me about? He wanted to talk to me about, I believe it's his father-in-law, isn't it? He wanted to talk to me about his father-in-law getting saved and how he was just smiling. He was thrilled. But he's come to the knowledge that he needs to be saved. It may take a few years, but if we keep watering and we keep fertilizing and we keep putting our trust in God, he'll come around. I've told you before many times about my grandfather. He went to church with my grandmother for 50-some years. And when he was 70 years old, he gave his heart to the Lord. And I thought, you know, I know that she's probably discouraged. Probably, you know, not thinking it's ever going to happen. I look back and I see Sandy. Sandy, how many years did we pray for Bernard? 60-some years. Al, where did he get saved at?
In a barn.
Got saved in a barn. Because somebody was out there speaking to him about the Lord. And it's important for us to realize when God tells you to speak, speak. He'll use the words. It's often been said when God calls me to go talk to somebody, I just, what do you begin to do? Make excuses. There was a man who lived on Rich Fork. His name was Moore. Pastor Al had talked to him, I'm sure, many times. But this particular day, God told him to go speak to him. And he actually had to turn around and go back because he was planning on not going to speak to him. And he got there and he was mowing his grass. Around and around, you know, he's mowing his grass, and finally he stops. And you know what happened that day? He accepted the Lord as his Savior because he spoke the words that God had given him to speak. He went out of his way to drive to the house. So when God tells you to go somewhere, be assured he's already there. Satan is there too. Satan's trying to turn you around. But you need to knock down that wall and get through because God loves you and God's known you for a long time. God's known you for a long time and He still loves you. He knows you this morning even if you're not serving Him. He knows you. He knows you this morning if you're not doing the things that you should be doing in your life. Maybe you got an idol there somewhere. You say, Aaron, I don't have nothing sitting in my house that it's an idol. It might be sitting in your garage. It might be the house you're sitting in. But we need to realize we need to break those down, get rid of them, and let the Lord work in our lives. So if you're here as Jeremiah, you know, in closing, I said that a while ago, didn't I? Y'all have to forgive me for that. If you go to the Sistine Chapel, there's a prophet painted on the ceiling there. Michelangelo was credited for painting that ceiling, but he painted Jeremiah the prophet on the ceiling. So I thought, you know, of all the tragedies and the sufferings he went through, God put him in a great cathedral where people could look up and still see him today. You know, of all the things and the pain and suffering that Christ went through, he took him to heaven and he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And all you have to know is he knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where you're sitting. He knows if you need Him. And He wants you to come to Him. As we stand and as we sing, I encourage you to come right now.
Page 23.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh, listen to His voice. Hear Him today, hear Him today. They who believe on His name shall rejoice. Quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Again, we're thankful for each of you that have come out today, and be much in prayer. Our revival is coming. You'll probably start getting calls tomorrow concerning the revival and our prayer watch. But just when you hear that call, take a few minutes and think of somebody that you can go speak to that doesn't know the Lord, or someone who hadn't been here for a while, that you could encourage them. Again, we're thankful for each of you that have come this way. It's glad to see Mita with us this morning. And God has been good. God has been good. Next Sunday, the bells will be ringing, and we'll be having a baptism. You say we just had one. Well, this time we've got four from our church that are going to be baptized. And if you haven't been baptized, let us know. We'll work you in to the baptismal service on next Sunday morning. Am I missing anything? Jamie Pritt, dismiss us in word of prayer.